Dun 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 dun. Welcome back to the Scare Spooks and Kooks podcast. Yay!
Yay!
I'm your kooky host, Jack, and my co-host, Emily. Yay!
Yeah! Those are some pretty kooky names that you just came up with there.
These are getting progressively worse.
It's only, we haven't even hit 20 yet. It's only getting worse, folks. But yeah, we haven't recorded in quite some time.
Yep.
For you guys, it's probably been 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah.
Since you've heard one. That's assuming I get this up by Wednesday, which I will. So we can assume away.
It's okay. Time isn't real, Emily.
No. And life is a nightmare. And we've been very busy.
Well, so. The world's going to end anyways, and nobody listens to this podcast. It's only for us personally that we make this. This is our bi-weekly therapy session.
Exactly. Welcome. But yeah, no, we're happy you're back, if you're back. Or if you're here for the first time. We had a new listener in some other country.
Whoa.
Last week. So we continue to expand our international audience of people who accidentally clicked on it.
If you're new, remember every time you hear say take a shot. That's the best way to enjoy this podcast.
Yes. And we are not legally responsible for when you inevitably die of alcohol poisoning within the first 10 minutes. I remember I used to edit those out in like the first two when I was feeling real gung-ho. I would edit out all the ums and ahs and awkward noises, and then I just gave up. It was too much.
Oh, maybe we need to outsource our editing to someone who will actually take out the ums and ohs.
It's not like we went to college for editing.
We
must outsource. Anyways, loose theme for this week. We got a couple things to talk about, though. I went to Idaho recently. I got back yesterday.
Land of the potato.
Yeah. No, Idaho's a pretty... It's kind of a lawless country in my eyes, as someone who doesn't live there. And I'm not talking like Coeur d'Alene. Like Nice or Boise, you know, like the big Idaho cities. I'm talking like Panhandle Idaho, like real North Idaho.
Why did you say Boise like that?
Well, Boise is like a college town, right? So it's kind of classy. It's a little more
inhabited.
Yeah, but
you said it with like a New Jersey accent. You were like Boise.
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 How do you say it, Boise?
Boise.
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 Boise. Boise. Boise.
God, we've lost so many listeners in such a short time frame.
Apologies to the folks from Boise. Boise, Idaho. Okay. Anyways. Yeah, we had an Airbnb in like very North Idaho. Very, very small town. Don't recall the name of it. It's not relevant. No internet, no cell phone service for 4 days. It was very rough. But a lot of history, a lot of cool history in northern Idaho. Like I said, it was the panhandle, so a lot of...
Was this just a pleasure trip?
It was a family vacation.
Wow.
So, sure. Pleasure. No, okay. It was fun. I had fun. They like to camp, that family of mine, and I do not. So this was a kind of an in-between. But I like the history. I like old history. So that was the fun part for me. We went to a few museums. And I went to a ghost town, which is what I wanted to talk about. Ghost, which in most cases, ghost town just means town that was abandoned. It's not like a haunted town.
Economic collapse,
Which is exactly what this was, because this was an old mining town, so it was just really sad, rundown town. It's called Burke, Idaho, if you want to look it up. There's some pretty cool pictures online. And there was this whole history about how, like, people would just kill each other all the time because everyone was so miserable and, like, pent up, and everybody had a gun. And then there were, like, all these terrible mining accidents. And, of course, half the people that live there get horrible cancers and diseases from all the, like, shit that gets dug up or put into the water when you're mining or panning for silver and whatnot. So everybody has lead poisoning. They're all crazy. Not a fun place.
Those were the days.
Yeehaw. But anyways, so we drove up to this town, and we got out of our car to kind of look around. Everything is very... There's no trespassing signs on everything. But a lot of the old buildings are still there. Yeah, yeah. And, like, Idaho, no trespassing signs. So it says, like, if you touch my shit, you get shot. I'm quoting a sign directly that I saw in the town.
Is it not just, like, government-owned property now? Does someone still, like, own the land, do you know?
No, there's people that still live there. There's, like, I think, like, 40 people. You're not supposed to live there. There's signs that say, like, you know, it's not safe to live here. There's, like, lead and... arsenic in the water and in the dirt and in the buildings. So, but yeah, there's like a handful of people that still live there, but I don't think anyone's really monitoring it. I think they're just kind of letting them do their thing up there. So yeah, we were kind of walking around where we could walk around. And this lady pulls up to us. She has a stroller and she walks up to us and she's like, are y'all tourists? She didn't talk. She talked normal. She talked like a normal person. I'm embellishing. But yeah, she was like, are you guys tourists? What are you doing here? And we were like, oh yeah, we're just checking out the old mine. And she's like, yeah, my grandpa worked in that mine. I grew up in this town. And we were like, oh, cool, yeah. She's like, just make sure you aren't here after 11 p.m. though. And like, I was kind of half listening up until this point. And then she just got my full attention. And I was like, wait, why? What happens after 11? And she's like, it's extremely haunted. This place is extremely haunted. And I was like, oh, podcast material. Tell me more, Burke lady. So she claims that when she would like go to sleep at night, she would hear trains running by. And because like in the old days, there was a railroad track and a train that would run through town. But the train is like long gone. So ghost train, pretty cool.
It's like the that one scene from Ghostbusters 2 in the subway, ye old subway.
Is there a ghost subway?
Yeah. Huh. I just broke our rule about movies for not even a funny joke.
I've never seen that movie, so I can't even play off of you. So yeah, ghost train, that's pretty cool. And she was very, like, very serious about don't be out here after 11 p.m. because the ghosts are aggressive, apparently, because they're, like, angry miners. And then my dad was like, that sounds cool. So he kind of, like, you know, offended her, and she didn't want to talk about the ghosts anymore. Well, you know, people who are scared of ghosts, they don't really like it when you're like, that sounds cool, that sounds fun. So that was kind of a shame.
Nice going, Dad.
Yeah, you ruined my podcast, Dad.
Please tell me you disregarded her words and snuck around after 11.
I wish. No, I did not. But that night, my brother, my younger brother, he's 22. I forgot about this because I haven't slept in the same house as him for a while. He's a sleep screamer.
Oh.
And so I was laying in bed that night and I just heard, ah! I was like, oh my God. And then I remembered that he's a sleep screamer. And so I was like, oh, okay, it's fine. But he got me for this. I thought the ghost train was coming for him. But yeah, that's my Idaho ghost story.
I'm waiting for you to loosely connect it to our main topic for the day.
Okay, let me think. Well, there was one morning I got up a little bit earlier and I had a little cup of coffee and I was sitting out on the porch and I saw a little deer kind of prance across the water in front of me. And I was like, wow, that's beautiful. And deer are animals. And we're gonna talk about animals this week, folks.
Scary animals. Ooh.
Like deer. Did the deer
you took a sip of your coffee and then the deer looked up and it turned to you. And then in your mind you heard, "You're next," and then it pranced off into the brush.
Yes. The great deer uprising of northern Idaho.
But no, we're going to talk about some scary animals. Some animals that we look at and we go, I don't want to go near it. It's too much.
Mhm.
So since you did a big spiel, shall I start us off?
Yes, please.
I think when everyone thinks about the ocean and all the creepy critters that are swimming around in there, I think they usually go to shark. But I think the humble jellyfish is the real terror of the seven seas.
Oh yeah.
Have you ever encountered a jellyfish?
Only when they're like near death on the beach and you kind of poke them with a stick.
Yeah, little jiggly jello boys.
Yeah, that's about it.
Sitting on the sand. No, but I've never gotten stung by one. And this, I guess this doesn't technically classify as a jellyfish. In Hawaii, there's this thing called the Portuguese Man-O-War.
Oh.
And it's classified as a siphonophore, I believe is what it's called. And they're called a Portuguese Man-O-War because they kind of resemble their style of boats, I believe is where the name came from. If you look at this thing, it's pretty gnarly looking. It's got like a jelly spike on the top of its head and almost like a frill alongside it. And then just like one really long tentacle surrounded by like its barbed tentacles. But they're only like, I think, 6 inches long. They're pretty small, but that makes them just like super hard to see. But yes, they're pretty small. I think the largest they grow is like 6 inches, but that's like including their tentacle length. So like the actual like head of the thing is probably like 30 centimeters at most, I want to say. So if you're out in the ocean, just pretty much impossible to see if you're just like swimming around. And I didn't really know about them until my last trip to Hawaii, when my grandfather died. I went to the beach with my younger cousins and my aunt and my uncle, and we were there for about 10 minutes, and I was just sitting on the sand watching our stuff, playing around with my camera, and then all of a sudden they're out of the water already. They were like in there for 2 minutes. My youngest cousin, he's just bawling his eyes out. He got stung.
And oh, no.
The poor little guy, because everybody says and it's not just Portuguese man o' war, but just like jellyfish in general, the way to, like,
you gotta do it.
You gotta pee on the sting. But I'm pretty sure there's better solutions.
There has to be.
I'm pretty sure somebody has, like, done it. But, yeah, so they went to go take care of that. Felt pretty bad. And then after that, we went home after he finished crying from the excruciating pain that must have been.
And but, the trauma of being peed on by a relative.
Yeah, but as I was looking, because I was taking pictures of them, but they were kind of far out, so I couldn't exactly see from the little LCD screen, but I got the moment. I have him looking at his arm, and then the next picture is just him just like mouth wide open crying. My uncle just like, "What's the matter, buddy?" And I never sent it to them, and so next Christmas I'm gonna blow up the picture and give it to them for Christmas so they can always remember that fateful day.
That's great. No, they were very lucky to have you there to capture that.
But yeah, I mean, I know it's not technically a jellyfish, but it's basically a jellyfish. Jellyfish in general, I feel like that's like, I feel like a shark, at least a shark, you like kind of know it's there. But if you get like caught up in a bunch of jellyfish and their tentacles and they're so clear you can't see them and you're just in like horrible pain the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the infamous box jellyfish. Have you heard of the box jellyfish?
I've heard of it. Why is it infamous?
There's a big group of a class of box jellyfish, but only a handful of them are like very venomous. And so I think a couple people have died after getting stung by those ones, if not from the venom, but because of like they would have like a heart attack or something afterwards, or
yeah,
some kind of bad reaction to it. But I don't think it's like a super high kill count, but it's still you don't want to run into it. Some effects of their poison. People may experience paralysis, cardiac arrest, and even death within a few minutes of being stung. And I think the most venomous one is also super tiny, so you're not even going to be able to see it swimming around in the ocean. And I think they're primarily around Australia, I believe, is where most of them congregate, especially the more venomous ones.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's fucking Australia.
No, that's really, that humbles you as a human. We think we're like top of the food chain, but a little mass of jelly can kill us in an instant. It's a good reminder. Humble yourself before the box jellyfish.
They say, I don't know if it's just here in Hawaii or if it's like a rule in general, but they say that the jellyfish come out more like 10 days after a full moon for mm-hmm. some reason. I don't know. It's their thing. So if you plan on going swimming in Hawaii, I don't know if it works anywhere else. It might just be Hawaii. Check the moon cycle and see what days are more likely to get stung.
That's very cool of the box jellyfish. That's pretty metal. I like that it has a little post-full moon routine.
Oh, that's not just the box jellyfish. I think that's just jellyfish in general.
Oh.
Yeah. They're all just on the clock. 10 days after the full moon, that's their vacation. They head down to Hawaii. And then all these goddamn tourists get in the water and they're like, fuck off, it's our time. Zap, zap.
See, I think I've seen way, way more jellyfish than I've ever seen sharks. But I don't really think about jellyfish as a threat. compared to sharks. So that's a good thing to have in my brain, I guess.
I hope one day in the future, after evolution, the jellyfish become the real killers of the seas.
If they can survive climate change, that'll just be it. They'll just be chilling.
Well, I think they're one of the, and don't quote me on this, but I think they're one of the few animals that are still just like, their population is growing as opposed to shrinking.
Yeah.
Most of our fish population is going down thanks to overfishing and climate change. But the humble jellyfish perseveres, and one day they shall rule.
It's always the nastiest, fucking meanest creatures that are persevering in climate change. It's like them and wasps.
I don't think they're necessarily nasty, but like, because have you ever seen like a live jellyfish at the aquarium? I mean, they're pretty beautiful, and I know they use like luminescent lights on their tanks, mm-hmm. but they just kind of float around their little umbrellas, going floop floop through the water. I'm gonna trademark that as the jellyfish noise, floop floop.
You're right. I know anything that stings that requires piss to heal, that's pretty evil in my book.
I mean, they didn't tell us to piss on it. It's just people somehow got the idea that piss was the answer.
What if jellyfish all just have, like, piss kinks? And this is how they...
Oh, God. Well, no, I think it would be more of, like, the first time someone tried pissing on a jellyfish sting. Someone got stung. And they were like, oh, my God, the pain. And then just some guy in the corner... Hey there, buddy. I got a solution for you.
Oh, great. Yes, that's canon now.
Can we move on to another animal?
Yeah, so one that I had in my head for this was just an animal that I find personally... I don't know if it's scary, but they make me very uncomfortable, and I don't like being around them, and I get like, I just get bad feelings when they're around.
Bad vibes.
Yeah, really bad vibes from them. And that's basset hounds. I really don't like them. Really don't like them. I don't like their droopy faces. I don't like their big ears.
But that's the appealing part. They're so droopy.
No. I think I might have some childhood trauma associated with the basset hound. I went to a birthday party once when it was probably like fourth grade, around that time. The girl, I'd never been to her house before, and it was kind of like a mobile home, like an in-ground mobile home. So not mobile, trailer home. And she had two giant basset hounds. And for some reason, the basset hounds just, like, gravitated to me, and they, like, followed me around all night. And I don't know if it was because of, like, the anxiety of being in a new space, and, like, her family was kind of loud, and it made me a little uncomfortable. And then also, I had these two fucking basset hounds following me around, just looking at me with their big, droopy faces. But yeah, I just... Ever since then, I just don't like them. If I see one, I'm like, ugh.
I mean, but basset hounds aren't that big.
They have long.
Tiny, stubby legs.
When we moved to Wenatchee, when I was like 13, we stayed in an apartment for a while, and the lady that lived above me had like a really old basset hound, like a just like 1 foot in the grave basset hound. And it would because there was like a porch, and then the porch was above our outside area. And the basset hound sometimes couldn't make it to wherever it would go to the bathroom. And so it would just pee. There's a lot of pee in this episode. I'm sorry. It would pee on the balcony, and then it would just rain basset hound piss down onto our little outside area. And that was like...
just sounds more sad than anything else.
No, that was strike two for the Basset Hound in my mind.
It's not his fault his owner didn't take him out.
I think she was very, very old, too. She might have been in a wheelchair, from what I remember. But no, because then why would she be in a second-story apartment? There was something wrong with the both of them. They were perfect for each other, those two. But yeah,
I feel like this is unfair discrimination against the Basset Hound. You sit down, you watch Joe Pera and his pet Basset Hound Gus, and you tell me you don't love him.
Well, you've just convinced me to never watch an episode of that show again. Because the one I watched didn't have the dog, so...
Well, that's too bad, because if... listeners at home, we had this discussion a couple days ago. Tina and Emily are gonna, as our first roommate things together, we're gonna sit down and they're gonna make me marathon the Twilight movies. And so if I have to marathon the Twilight movies, you're going to have to binge watch Joe Pera. It's just going to happen.
If you want to traumatize me, then sure. It's really not comparable to the cinematic masterpiece that is Twilight. Okay. Do you have another spooky animal?
It's my turn. I do, in fact. This one is less, how do I put this? I guess it's more a cautionary tale of why you shouldn't own exotic pets. Are you familiar with the story of Travis the chimp?
Yeah. Is he the one where the lady was on Oprah?
Yes. So for those of you who don't know, this family, I think they worked at or they owned a chimpanzee sanctuary, in Missouri. And for some reason, I guess this family just bought this newborn chimp from it. And so they raise the chimp up from birth, and they name it Travis, and he becomes like the local chimpanzee. Everybody loves him. People go take pictures with him. The family's just kind of famous around town for having him. And what happens eventually is police get a call that... someone's been attacked. And I guess the story is, I think this was after the husband died. This lady who owned Travis needed help because at this point he was a juvenile young adult, I believe. And he took her car keys and was in the car, and she couldn't get him out. So she called one of her close friends over to help her out, because she always had good interactions with Travis. And so she brings Travis's favorite toy, Tickle Me Elmo doll, to try and get him to calm down. But for some reason, as soon as Travis sees her, he just loses it. Nobody knows why. And he ends up ripping off her hands and a good portion of her face. And the lady who owns Travis calls the police, and they come and they shoot him dead. They didn't actually shoot him dead. They shot him, and he kind of wandered back into the house. The bullets didn't kill him immediately, and he eventually bled out, I believe.
No, I was on the edge of my seat for that whole story. I think that's one of the scariest fucking stories ever. And like I said, they played it on Oprah back in the day. So I was like, however old, 8 years old, sitting at home, because the owner called 911, and you can hear on the 911 call very clearly the woman having her face ripped apart by the monkey. And then they interview her, and she doesn't look good. She looks pretty gnarly. And yeah, it's very, very upsetting and sad and scary, especially because it was this creature that they loved, even if it was a very naive and stupid love.
Yeah, they were really close. It was like, because before she called the police, I think. The lady's name was Sandra. I might be mixing that up, but she attempted to stab Travis to get her off her friend, and she mm-hmm. said stabbing Travis was like stabbing herself. That's how much it hurt this chimpanzee she raised from birth and had to attempt to kill.
Yeah, no, it'd be like if I was cuddling my dog. And then suddenly it started eating my face. Like, it's just, it's terrible. It's so sad. But yeah, also don't own monkeys, folks. Don't own exotic animals. They are animals. They will kill you. They can't reason like a human, and they aren't simple like a dog or a cat. So you watched that Oprah episode when you were far too young to be seeing it too?
Oh no, I didn't know about it until like, well, I know I heard about it somewhere, but I was definitely older when I heard about it.
Okay.
So I didn't have the trauma that,
yeah.
that
you had. No, that's like a core trauma memory. Fucking early 2000s daytime TV. What a wasteland it was.
Yeah, and they still don't know exactly what made Travis just attack her like that. They said it might have been that because she had a new hairstyle, so maybe mm-hmm. he didn't immediately recognize her, and her holding his favorite toy upset him. And so he just mm-hmm. went on full, like, defense mode. Or, well, yeah. Not defense, more attack mode.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a pretty interesting defense you got there.
Yeah. Pour one out for Travis tonight.
I don't think... I might have mentioned this before. Did I ever tell you when I got bit by my dog as a kid?
No.
So I was a young, dumb kid, and for some reason I was like, I want to give my dog a haircut. And so I had like scissors, and I think I snipped his ear. Mm-hmm. And then next thing I know, I was bleeding, and my parents had to take me to the hospital. I don't remember it super well. I probably blocked it out. But yeah, I made him mad, and then he bit me on the chin, and I had to get a couple stitches.
Oh. He had to put you in your place?
Yeah. I deserved it.
Yeah. No, that's good for kids to learn.
I mean, like, afterwards, like, the dog, he still liked me. He didn't, like, bark at me or anything when I came close.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he was, like, partially sleeping, and I just, like, startled him. And
yeah.
So he was like, what's this by my ear?
Well, that was a much happier story than the monkey lady.
I mean... It's just you gotta know how to treat animals. Some animals are good domesticated. Just don't, you know, cut their hair while they're asleep. And some just weren't meant to live life amongst people. They gotta be free, mm-hmm. free boys. slash girls.
Yep. Have you ever heard of the Grizzly Man? On kind of
I
a
have
similar
heard
note.
Of the Grizzly Man.
Yeah, that's the other story that really scares me, aside from the monkey one. Dude loved grizzly bears so much, and then
wanted
they ate him.
To live with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he had a lot of footage beforehand of them just, like, interacting well with him. But it just takes one bad day for the animal, and you're a goner.
Yeah. No, he has some of the, like, coolest bear footage you'll ever see. But, yeah, he flew too close to the sun. And captured his own death on camera and his girlfriend.
They never released the footage, though.
No.
The family, like, did they get rid of it? Or did they have it stored somewhere?
I don't know if they got rid of it. You know, there's that documentary, the Werner Herzog one.
Yeah.
And there's a scene in that documentary where he's listening to it in front of, like, the guy's sister or something, some relative. And Werner Herzog listens to it, and then he takes off his headphones, and he goes, "You must destroy this." Just the most fucking melodramatic, least comforting thing that you could ever say to someone's family member. So, if they listen to old Werner, then it's destroyed. But, yeah, I don't know if I would hold on to it if I were them. If that were my family member getting eaten to death. I don't think I'd be like, yeah, let's put this one next to the bar mitzvah video.
Oh. I don't know. I feel like I would be torn.
Yeah.
Like, it's a terrible thing to have. But it's also like, I mean, I guess I can't really come up with any benefits to holding on to it.
I feel like they might get, like, hounded by internet weirdos, too. Because, you know, like, lost media is, like, a big thing. We could do a whole lost media episode now that I think about it. Because it's very interesting. But, yeah, that video is, like, a very iconic piece of lost media. So I'm sure they have weirdos asking them to release it.
I mean,
all the time.
It's not lost. They know where it is.
Assuming they didn't throw it out.
Yeah.
And Werner Herzog might have a copy of it for the documentary. So I don't know. Lost media shows up all the time. You never know what's going to pop up. What horrible, horrible, traumatic media that no one should ever see will be available free on YouTube. You never know.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of just goes to show, like, because, you know, all these people, they think they formed, like, a bond with these animals.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, that's just what they think. They have no idea how the animal, like, internalizes them. If they even, like, are, like, there is some level of recognition, but
yeah.
I think the animal definitely does not hold you to as high regards as you hold the animal.
Yeah. No, there's so many examples. Like the SeaWorld whale that, you know, killed the, or I don't know, maimed or killed the SeaWorld employee. You know, it's every animal has its breaking point.
Should we talk about that a bit?
We can.
Good
yeah,
old
I've,
Shamu.
I've only seen part of the documentary because it was too upsetting and I turned it off. But I have been to the real Shamu show back in the day. You can blame my parents for that one. I was a child. I didn't know. I guess no one knew.
I remember going to SeaWorld, but I don't remember if I saw Shamu. I mean, it must have been because I remember going to see the killer whales.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, he did, like, a little show, and there was, like, a splash zone where you can sit, and the whale will, like, splash water on you.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I guess everyone was just so collectively naive that they all just thought it was
I mean, for anyone behind, I mean, I guess not everyone, but, I mean, I feel like it would be very apparent for people who are aware that, hey, this killer whale who all the other killer whales in the SeaWorld's possession, like, bullies this one, so he has a bunch of scars, and his fin droops, which definitely isn't healthy, but the mm-hmm. SeaWorld employees try to, like, push it as it's okay. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. Was he born in captivity? Or was... Or no, because I think most killer whales, they take from the... They steal them from the wild, don't they?
Yeah, well, I think they try to say that they rehabilitate them, and they're yeah. whales that couldn't survive on their own.
Well, I know that before SeaWorld, a lot of the killer whales were, like, in another place's possession, but were then bought out, and those ones were, like, stolen from their pods by mm-hmm. whalers. Shamu might have been born in captivity, but I can't recall.
Yeah.
Take a shot for that last
if you've made it this far.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's,
God damn it,
yeah.
you did it again. They're so drunk now, Emily. They don't even, our words aren't even perceived by them. They are so wasted because we can't get our shit together.
Well, that's good. We can just say whatever we want for the next 15 minutes and it won't matter. But yeah.
But anyways, I feel like
we flipped the conversation from scary animals to scary humans who treat animals like shit. And snap
and that's the real lesson. Ooh. But yeah, so Shamu is at SeaWorld. I mean, their tanks there aren't that big, definitely not big enough for a whale to live its life, just swimming in circles and doing backflips for fish. So and I mean, there were accounts of aggression beforehand. Before the trainer died, didn't they find, like, someone had snuck into Shamu's pen at night, like, illegally, and were found dead, and the SeaWorld said, oh, he just fell in and drowned, but there was more evidence, like, marks on the body, like chew marks from the whale, that something else could have happened.
Yeah.
But nobody did anything. SeaWorld's approach, just sweep it under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually it got to the day of the main incident where I forget the trainer's name. I apologize. If you want a good telling of the story, go watch Blackfish. But the trainer was kind of at odds with Shamu that day. He did some tricks that she ended up not giving him fish, even though he thought that's what he was ordered to do, so there was kind of tension between them. And as the show was ending, he grabbed her by the ponytail and dragged her under. And she died right there in front of a crowd.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that she was, you know, she genuinely cared about animals. And
yeah.
I don't think the employees are the evil ones there. It's the fucking corporate idiots who, you know, only cared about profit. And
yeah, well, I don't know, because I think there's still some level of, like, because they still think they form this bond with the animal and they kind of overlook everything else.
Yeah. Yeah,
like,
and they push that bullshit dorsal fin flop thing that is just obviously not true. You know, that can be disproven with a Google search.
They have that whole, we can't send him back out to the wild because he wouldn't know how to survive on his own. Mm-hmm. But it's still like, is it better him just staying here doing flips for people's amusement.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very sad. I don't think... this is just my opinion. I don't think animals should be entertainment in that fashion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really don't like aquariums and zoos. They make me very uncomfortable. Like, I went to the Seattle Aquarium years ago, and there was, like, a sea lion there, and I just watched it swim up and down and up and down, because it was so fucking bored and frustrated and, like, miserable that that's all it could do. And it just made me so depressed, and I was like, I can never go to another zoo or aquarium again. I'll just be miserable the whole time. Even though I know they do conservation and they, you know, they do good things with the money that they get. Some of them, not all of them, but
I just don't like them. There's this thing going around where some zoos are now getting humane certified. So they have like a higher level of upkeep for the animals. And I mean, that's good. I haven't visited any of these yet, so I don't know to what degree they're better. Mm-hmm. I know that some of the Sea Worlds have gotten humane certified now, and mm-hmm. I believe they're filtering out all their whale shows. Although I don't think they release any to the wild, but don't quote me on that.
I don't think they're planning on to. I think, like you said, they're just going to age them out and then be done with it.
Point of the story, fuck SeaWorld. I like, because I showed Tina Blackfish for the first time like a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. And afterwards we decided we looked up like what's happening now with SeaWorld. And SeaWorld would still like post like, oh, we just rehabilitated this walrus or seal or whatever, and then they get a bunch of comments like, we still fucking remember what you did to Shamu. I agree with you that going to zoos now and like aquariums, it feels a lot more like we shouldn't be doing this. So me and Tina, we both went to the we went to Sea Life Park here in Oahu 2 weeks ago, and to be honest, it was really depressing. to go and visit there. I kind of feel bad that we spent money there and the zoo, but Sea Life Park was definitely worse of the two. They do shows there, whereas the zoo, they just have the animals like living their lives.
They're
not as big of enclosures as they should have. But we go to the dolphin show at the end of the day, because we were like, we paid, I think it was like $35 each to get in here. And the announcer is like, she has that fake like, aloha, welcome to Sea Life Park, I'm your host, I'm gonna sprinkle in some Hawaiian words to make it seem like we're part of the culture, even though most of the staff is white. Hello. And they do their introductions and they're playing like a cheesy Hawaiian music track. And at some point during the show, they bring out their two main dolphins, and they're like, we're proud to introduce you, because these ones, they're like half dolphin, half orca whale. And me and Tina both look at each other and we're like, excuse me, can you explain that more? Why are you breeding dolphins and killer whales? Where did they come from? Second of all, even with having like a cool animal like that, should you really be making them do flips and stuff? And I don't know, it just kind of left a bad taste in our mouths.
Yeah. No, that sounds ethically questionable at best.
Yeah. But I feel like a place like that wouldn't be willing to get rid of the shows because that's where a lot of their income comes from. Especially yeah. they're like, ooh, Swim with the Dolphins.
Right, and they're not going to get heat on them like SeaWorld got for that documentary. Yeah, it's...
I mean, everyone who will knows? Go after the Maybe big guy. One of these dolphins will wise up and kill their oppressors.
That's right. Yeah, no, dolphins deserve it. Dolphins are smart. They're a lot smarter than
oh
us.
Oh my god. Tina doesn't like dolphins. She thinks they're scary. They're too smart. Because I think dolphins are one of the few animals that like will rape each other and stuff like that.
Yeah.
A group of dolphins can kill a shark easily.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah. No, if you look at their skeletons, are very human looking. There's like small differences, but yeah, their skeletal structure is very similar to humans. And that's pretty freaky.
But even still, I don't think it's going to be a good look if one day dolphins, they walk out of the sea with their big brains of theirs and they see us just with a bunch of other dolphins in tanks doing backflips.
Yeah. Now the Great Dolphin Uprising sounds like the more fun apocalypse that will most certainly happen in the not too distant future. So,
I mean, hey, if global warming melts the ice caps, which it definitely will, and the sea level rises, it's we had the dinosaurs, we had the woolly mammoths, we had the humans. It's time to give the porpoises and the jellyfish their chance to shine.
That's right. And fuck the basset hounds. They can drown.
Get at. No. No. We love basset hounds. They're good boys.
No. They're... No. We don't push that good boy agenda on this podcast.
You're terrible.
Well, this was a depressing conversation, as these usually end up.
Are you out of animals? Did you have any more?
I had a few small stories. I wanted to advocate for the extermination of pugs a little. Well, not extermination. I just think they should die out and we should stop making pugs. Because pugs are really gross. And you can tell that they're not happy to be alive. And I'm not happy to see them. So...
So much hyperbole with you today, Emily. It's wonderful. I mean, we've killed so many cockroaches since we've arrived here at Hawaii. Emily, you would be terrified. They're big. They're big boys. They saunter about like they own the place at night.
My roommate from Hawaii would tell tale of cockroaches flying around, and she would hear them flying around at night.
But is it their fault that they're here? No, it's the dumbass humans that brought them here.
Oh, poor Hawaii. If you want a species to just run wild, send it to Hawaii. What was that thing we talked about long ago? The toads that your grandma would murder savagely?
Yeah. Yeah, they're invasive. If you come here and like, because there's the usual house gecko, which is like pretty plain looking. And then there's another kind of gecko. That's like a vibrant green with like orange dots, the Madagascar gecko. And I think a lot of people think that, oh, this one's the vibrant one, so it must be native to Hawaii. No, they're invasive. They They eat all the bugs, which then in turn deplete the food supply for the local birds. They're bad. They're bad boys.
So feel free to kill the colorful house geckos.
I mean, I can't bring myself to kill any gecko.
They're too cute. They're very cute.
My grandma says to kill them, and I'm just like, no. But it's okay, because they're too fast. They're too crafty. We can't catch them. There's one loose in the house, and we can't. He's too fast.
There's... I hear, like, I don't know if it's mice or birds, but I hear, like, scuttling at night sometimes. And that's a bad feeling when you're in bed and you just hear scuttling.
At your house?
Yeah. I think it's birds. I hope it's birds.
I mean, it could be rats.
Yeah, that's a good thought to have in my head. No, when we would go to our cabin in Montana, there were pack rats. Do you know what pack rats are?
No.
Pack rats are nasty, nasty rats who, they steal your shit and they just like save it up. So, you know, if stuff goes missing, you have to find like the pack rat horde. And we found one in like the old shed behind the cabin. And it was just full of like miscellaneous like shoes and jewelry and whatnot that the pack rat had broken in and stolen in the night and taken to his horde.
I always thought, I didn't think pack rats were a real animal. I thought they were just like people who hoarded stuff.
No, they're real and they're terrible. But yeah, in the night at the cabin, I would hear pack rats scuttling around all night, stealing our shit. It was very scary. But yeah, it's kind of a fun, quirky concept. It would make a good Disney cartoon, but in real life, it's very upsetting.
There's one more that I would like to talk about with you here today.
Yes, please.
So, when we moved out of our current apartment, we're staying with with my parents, and we have to store stuff in the basement, which is already pretty cluttered, but we make it work. But we have to go downstairs because we're looking for one of our things. I forget what. We were looking for our Instax film for our mini Polaroid. But we're looking around amongst our things. And it's nighttime, mind you. So already on edge because, ooh, it's night. It's spooky. And I move a box and just the biggest, blackest spider comes out, and I didn't get a look at its underside, but I'm 90% sure it was a black widow, and it crawls out, and immediately, ooh, Tina goes into panic mode. I can't even talk to her because she's too freaked out, and I tell her, just go upstairs, and the spider's already like crawled off in another direction, and she it takes her a while to be able to move again. She's that frightened of spiders.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, have you ever seen a black widow spider?
I have once. It was in Wenatchee, and it was on the front doorknob of our house when I got home from school one day. And so I sat in my car and I waited for my brother to get home and kill the spider, because there was no way in hell I was going to touch that doorknob. Yeah, no, black widows are, I don't know why they're supposed to be scary. I think they're poisonous, right?
They are poisonous. They can't kill usually. Like, it'll be very painful, and you should probably see medical attention after getting bit by one. But I think the reason they're widely feared is because there were cases of like either an elderly person or a young child they bit and killed, so people are like, stay away. But yeah. I don't Like, because I don't think I've seen one up close until that night. But they, like, even without seeing the red hourglass, which, okay, come on, nature. You're telling me you just happen to make a spider with a red hourglass of death? You're kidding me. You're
That's
kidding me.
pretty good.
But
Good
even
move,
without
nature.
seeing, like, the underside to confirm, like, it was, like, I would say, like, quarter-sized, but it just, like, it has a big presence just looking
Yeah,
at it.
they're thick. They're thick boys. They got real
Yeah.
big butts.
Well, I mean, aren't the, I'm pretty sure the big ones are the females. Like, the male ones are smaller and don't have as much venom, I believe. Don't quote me again. But yeah, they're spooky, spooky gals.
Yeah, that's terrifying. I sympathize with Tina, and once again, when we are roommates, you're gonna have to deal with two people who lose their fucking minds over spiders,
Oh,
because
God.
I think I would react in the exact same way as her. When we lived in Montana when I was really little, though, my brother got bit by a spider and had to go to the hospital. So that's it can happen. Spiders are a genuine threat sometimes, but not usually.
I mean, if you're in Australia, be afraid. I don't think there are, or well, I know there's the brown recluse in Washington. I don't know if I've ever seen one. I don't know if I could identify it if I saw it, because it doesn't look that like recognizable. There's no red hourglass of death on its ass. I don't know the lethality of that one, but I know it's a top one to avoid. And then also the hobo spider, which I also could not identify, if you gave it to me.
There's too much spider talk. I'm getting like tingles on my butt.
The main thing, Emily, and I reiterate this for everyone, is that they're not just gonna bite you because they're out to bite people. They only do it in self-defense. They're only trying to get bug boys. It's just when we cross paths, sometimes things go bad.
Are you a take the spider outside person?
Yeah.
That's gonna be an issue.
Well, I mean, I feel bad. It's just doing its thing. It's eating the bugs. Most spiders I don't even care about, like a wolf spider. I usually would just leave it be. 'Cause I, yeah. Okay, here's my question. As someone else who's like afraid, like super afraid of spiders. If I see a spider and you haven't noticed it yet, is the right move to point it out and have you freak out? Or if I know that it's a spider that will cause no harm, do I say nothing and just let it move around until it's out of your sight?
Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. If you're gonna casually walk over and scoop it up and take it outside, that's fine. But if I found out you're letting a spider live rent-free in our apartment, I will be pissed. That in high school once, I was sitting across from my friend in class, and he's like looking at my hair kind of, and then he reaches up and he goes and like swats. And I was like, "What was that?" And he went, "Oh, you had a spider in your hair." And I lost my fucking mind. I was like, I can't
But the
believe you
spider was
just did
gone.
that. No, you gotta tell me. I still
But he
have
got rid
trust
of it
issues.
for you.
He didn't tell me. He didn't let me have a proper reaction.
But if he told you, you would have immediately freaked out and would have made it a lot harder to get the spider out of your hair.
I guess that makes sense. I
I
just like
bring
to
this
know.
up 'cause I think we were celebrating my birthday at Tina's apartment. We had just gotten back from seeing Midsommar, the classic comedy film, as you know. And we're eating the cake, and I see on the wall spiders crawling across. It's behind Tina. She doesn't see it. I look at Anne, because Anne's there with the group of friends. And Anne clearly sees it. And I shake my head at Anne, because I know that as soon as Tina sees it, she's gonna freak the fuck out. She's gonna jump on the ottoman. She's gonna throw something, and I don't want that to happen. And then Tina's just like, "What?" And then Anne tells her, and then Tina proceeds to freak out and then gets mad at me for not saying anything. Whereas I'm trying to keep the calm. I'm trying to not let shit get out of hand real fast.
No, I'm 100% with Tina here. If you see a spider, you better be up on your feet in a moment's notice and with tissue in hand, ready to take care of it. Whether that be putting it outside
But
or
wait,
putting it to
wait. So
hell.
the issue is, I just need to take care of it. But do I need to let you guys know and have a and have chaos ensue?
You don't have to share. You can say you saw like an ant on the wall and you had to get the ant. I just don't want to hear the S word spoken aloud.
So I need to go full Soviet Union and just take care of the problem, but covertly.
Yes, take it out back, put a bag over its head, dispense of it quietly.
So over here in Hawaii, we have a little thing called sugarcane spiders, which they're essentially like wolf spiders, but they're like, I would say with their legs spread out, like tennis ball sized.
Yeah,
They're
you've tricked me into Googling this before. I will not be Googling it again. It's
and
disgusting.
teen the I think the first week we got here, Tina went to bed before me. I did my thing for a bit, shut off my computer, then walked upstairs to go to bed, and I see. On the door frame, just a giant ass spider, and Tina's asleep. And I'm like, I know if I so much as mention it, shit's gonna go down. So I just take the fly swatter, kill it, flush it down the toilet. And Tina doesn't even wake up for this ordeal. She's out. And then the next day, I was like, yeah, did you hear me killing the spider by the door last night? She goes, oh no. And I was like, should I have told you there was a spider? And she goes, probably not. I don't want to see it. I don't want to be traumatized.
Yeah, no, I agree with how that played out. You did good on that one. Especially
Don't
a
know.
fucking tennis ball size spider. Jesus Christ.
I feel like it's not a real trip to Hawaii, though, if you don't check off the list of critters.
Yeah. Now maybe that's the idea to get that SeaWorld knockoff canceled. Just make Hawaii sound as unappealing as possible. Just talk about the spiders
I
and the
think
killer jellyfish.
get rid of Sea Life Park. I want a Bug Life Park. I want there. Some people would be like, oh, this is cool. Others are like, this is hell on earth. I don't want to go here. But I don't know, because I feel like, because I mean, marine life is important, but because I was asking my mom about this before we came to Hawaii, but she was like, if I was meant to swim with the dolphins, I would have flippers and gills. But I feel like if there was like a bug place where you could get to know the critters, around the island maybe not freak out as much in their presence. I feel like that's a good thing.
Yeah. See, I was picturing, like, make the spiders do tricks. Make them, like, jump through hoops until they're fucking miserable and hate their lives. And then I would watch.
I don't know if you could train a spider to do anything.
anything is possible.
There's actually a famous spider in Hawaii called the Hawaiian Happy Face Spider. It's kind of like a yellowish green, and on its back, it's got like, it looks like a happy face. Looks like a face going, ee! I mean, they're cool guys. They're happy guys. I like them.
They're fun. That sounds like the stuff of nightmares, and I will not be Googling it tonight.
I don't know. They're pretty cool. I say Google it. It how's the line go? It's worth the Google.
Spiders with smiles on their back. It's worth the Google.
Welp, it started downpouring again, so I think our session's coming to a close.
Yes. This was a depressing one, but yeah. We learned about spiders, so that's even worse.
No, Emily, the real lesson is that humans are the scariest animals of all.
That's right. And don't keep monkeys as pets, and exterminate the pug. The end. Thank you for listening. I hope you're not too drunk.
Goodbye. Goodbye. I know you're probably wasted now. So, That's 12 shots for you. Finish that bottle there, bud. I believe in you.
There you go. Okay, goodbye.
All right, goodbye. I don't know why I waved.